Welkom bij de leiderschapspodcast van City Life Church. Dit is Leadership Talks.
Hallo, welcome back to Leadership Talks. This is episode number 36 already. And as you probably know, we do this every fourth Tuesday of the month. I'm interviewing a guest that is with us, speaking with us or giving training. So this guest, Thomas, has been on this before. This is your second time. Welcome back, Thomas.
Thank you so much, Errol.
Thomas from Oslo. Yep. You're not from Sweden.
From Norway, yeah.
You're from Norway. Is that a problem, Norway, Sweden? Are they good friends or no?
We are good friends, friendly rivals.
Friendly rivals, okay. Hey, you've been with us the whole weekend, also speaking to the men's conference. Was very inspiring. Thank you for that. And we will skip the question, leadership is the problem, because you answered that one last time. Or did you change your mind a bit on that one?
No, I think that truth still sticks there.
So you've been with us a few days in the Netherlands. Can you have a bit of a... by the way, who's Thomas? For those that didn't watch you last time, who's Thomas?
Well, I am 43 years old. I am married, three kids. I grew up not planning to be in ministry. My dad was a pastor, did not plan or intend to do that. Not at all, actually. Not when I was a teenager, that was definitely not the plan. But when I was a very little child, they started to, you know, I pretended to preach and stuff like that. Yeah. But when I grew up, it was like...
As a teenager, you thought, no.
Oh, that was embarrassing. Yeah, they showed me videotapes when I was preaching like a five-year-old, and I was like, oh, give me a break. Forget that.
Yeah.
But then, of course, life took another direction, you know. And very happy today to lead the church and do work for the kingdom.
The church in Oslo, but also in Mexico. You told us a little bit about that last time.
Yeah.
The fastest growing is in Mexico.
That's, I would say, the most well-functioning campus is in Mexico.
That's even better than fast growing.
Yeah.
Well-functioning.
Yeah.
Can we zoom in on why? What do you mean by well-functioning? If we're talking leadership or culture?
Well, if you talk about being several campuses and departments, sometimes it's like the people who are closest, the locations that are very close. How can I say this? It's not to speak bad about them. But some things, you become a little bit familiar.
Yeah.
You take things a little bit for granted.
Yeah.
They might come in a little bit more entitlement sometimes. While when you travel half the world and you spend a full week with them, they are hungry. You know, they want to... So. Sometimes the quality of the conversations are really, really good because they are curious and they absorb lots of information. But of course, that's just one detail. The reason it's well functioning is, of course, also because they have great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the last time we were talking on this Leadership Talks, that was probably a little bit right after COVID or a bit of COVID still, regulations.
Yeah.
So we're a few years later now. Has COVID changed people? Especially on, if I may, we see advertisements everywhere. Mm. Everyone is looking for employees.
Mm.
Every organization is looking for volunteers.
Mm.
What happened?
Yeah, well... did it change?
I guess
people?
That's the same in Norway. The same, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It changed people, but it's funny you ask because we just had our own leadership conference some weeks ago, and I had a sentence where I would mention COVID, I would just say beep. I would censor the word.
Good. Yeah.
Because the theme of the conference was forwards.
Yeah.
So I would say, now for a long time we have been talking about beep.
And its
consequences. But now we are looking forwards.
Good. Yeah.
So the question is very fair and it's very true. And of course we do discuss and talk about this.
Yeah.
But I think also maybe there are some great answers to your question. something's changed, maybe in the volunteer spirit, not just in the church, but in the world.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I do think also that for leaders, the COVID or the beep is also becoming an excuse sometimes for us when we don't reach people or we don't we don't manage to raise enough leaders.
We
say, well, COVID changed it, you know. So I think we need to actually, we said, that's your statement, leadership is the problem, and leadership is the answer.
Yeah.
And I think to this issue, even we as senior leaders need to stop blaming COVID for certain things and just, you know, train people.
But what does it look like in your church to, you know, to get the volunteers back or to inspire them to? And the other question that comes after this is what is the hesitation of some people to do a step up in leadership?
Yeah.
But do you have special things that work for you to get the teams filled up again?
Yeah, well, I think I know what to do after being here in your church, because now you do things so great. So I have to say I've learned a lot by being here and just to see the spirit among your volunteers. You know, I think there are many answers to your questions, so what I'm going to say is maybe not the main thing, but it's one of the things. And actually, some volunteers, they lack confidence. And they lack confidence because maybe they used to do something, and now, during COVID, they reduced a little bit their commitment. And maybe, even in church, they, you know, their frequency, attendance frequency, went a little bit down. So they feel bad. And when you ask now, could you, maybe it's time for you to take a step or to volunteer for this, it's easier for them to say no. But it turns out, and this was actually a little revelation for me, it turns out it's not necessarily just because they don't want to or because they're tired. It might be that. But one of the reasons is that some people, they think, no, I have stepped down a little bit. I do not have the confidence to take on more. They actually don't feel qualified, and they think you shouldn't ask me because I need to repent. So I think one of the keys, not the only one, but one of the keys, has been to restore confidence and tell people you are qualified, you are called, and we need you. You know, and even if maybe your frequency or your commitment have been down a little bit. We can, you know, it's not too late to change.
You're still very welcome.
Yeah.
To help and come back.
Yeah.
Very good. So can we zoom in a little bit more on not only this and not only after the beep? Hesitation. There, in the Lord, we have so many promises and you know, so many possibilities and so many potential. You can sometimes sense, even in our own lives, the hesitation. Can we zoom in a little bit? What is happening with the hesitation, and how can we deal with it for ourselves also? Because it's also
Well, we talked this weekend about Moses. He had a hesitation when God said, "You are a deliverer. You are a speaker. You are someone to show freedom to the people." While Moses felt very disqualified, and his hesitation was, of course, very strong, very visible. And I think the easy answer, sometimes as leader, you might think that our people are a little bit lazy. You know, it's like they wanted to be comfortable. And sometimes that might be
true.
It's true.
In Norway, I heard they all go to the little cabins, right? At the lake and
In summer.
In summer?
Yeah, we lose, in summer Sunday services, we lose like 60-70% at least of the attendance. So of course.
Probably you need summer, you need a bit of sunshine in Norway.
Yeah.
Because there's 10 months of gray skies in front of you. So you So they all get the little cabin at the lake. Is that the reason?
Well, this is a culture that has developed over many, many years, you know. But it's a Norwegian thing, not only to go to the cabin, but because we have been blessed, you know, a blessed nation, and many people could afford traveling abroad. Yeah. Many people go to Spain or to France or to Greece or to Turkey and things like that. And that's fine. I mean, that's not a threat to the church. But I think, of course, during the COVID, what happened was, of course, this comfortability, and that for some people, it became harder to commit long term. Mm. Yeah. So they can say yes for, you know, this weekend or next weekend. Yeah. Yeah. But to say yes, I commit to every third weekend or to a roster or to a structure. Mm. It feels like, no, for quite some time now, we have been living more unpredictable.
Yeah.
And it's given me a certain freedom. And if I'm allowed to say one thing, with some young people, there's a language I hear a lot these days. And they say, I have to set boundaries in my life.
Yeah.
And it sounds very wise, but I think there needs to be a balance to that also. Because yes, you need some boundaries, but some people are so clever at their boundaries that they stop growing. And actually what happens is that they shrink and they do not get... I think you get too depressed sometimes if you are too clever with your boundaries.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they want boundaries on their time, boundaries on their energy, boundaries on their everything. But in order to grow, you need to push the limit sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
a little bit of pain is needed to grow. Yeah.
But it's, and I would actually make the claim that it's dangerous not to do that, because it's like our physical body. There's two things that are dangerous. It's to never be tired or to always be tired. If your body is has a high pulse and you do a run and you push your limits, you will be in very bad shape. It's not your heart needs every now and then to get up a little bit and sweat, you know? So it's dangerous if you never do that, but it's also not good if your heart is always fast-paced. And I would say it's the same with commitment, leadership, and all these things.
Yeah.
It's not healthy to be worn out all the time. But it's not healthy to never be worn out.
Yeah.
We need to be worn out sometimes.
Yeah,
good for
wise,
the body.
Very wise. So we're talking boundaries, the hesitation. Yeah. Another hesitation I heard you talk about that was very helpful. Well, that's not who I am. That's not how I'm wired.
Yeah.
That's not my sweet spot. That doesn't give me energy.
Yeah.
And there's a few other...
Yeah.
We hear that a lot. We understand what we mean by that.
Mm.
But sometimes it's a little bit, can you zoom in? You did a message on this one, which was very helpful.
For me personally, I'm not blaming people who said that, because that was my language in terms of becoming, you know, a leader and doing what I do today.
Moses said it, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not a speaker.
I'm not a speaker.
And then God says, well, who gave you the mouth?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he still says,
He says
to God, after you said all this, I still did not change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Send somebody else.
Please send
it's
somebody
else.
It's not
me. Yeah. This is not who I am.
Yeah.
So that was a very good message that was triggering. Yeah. So can you zoom in a bit on?
Yeah, sure. I
because it sounds, the boundaries sounds very wise, as you said.
Yeah.
This also sounds very thoughtful, very wise. You have to know who you are. You have to know your strength, etc.
And it can sound even spiritual. You know, this is what I have a calling to do, and this is not my calling.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot to say about that, but I for me it's almost my testimony that one thing I discovered is that you don't know yourself that well.
Mm.
When we say that's not me. Many times we don't know what we're talking about because there are so many things in us that we are not familiar with. There's a potential in us. I know it sounds a little bit, you know, cheesy and motivational, but there really is way much more to you than you can imagine.
Yeah.
So I think when we say, I cannot do that, it's not me, it's not how I'm wired. Of course, sometimes it might be true, but how do you know that?
Yeah.
And I would say that you have another word, it's called the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people say you have to leave your comfort zone. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that answering your question, I would say that taking a step and having the guts to do things that I maybe felt it was not me, it was not just leaving my comfort zone, but I found my comfort zone. Mm. Because I discovered my comfort zone is
bigger
way
than you,
bigger than what I thought.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when we have this hesitation and these excuses, we have a very narrow, small comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, I need to, you know. But the truth is that you take a step and you discover, oh, I had a flow in this. I never knew. It's again back to the physical body. The potential of your physical body is much bigger than we know. We can, if we had a test, we went to the swimming pool or to the beach and we said, how long can you hold your breath underwater? Mm-hmm. And maybe we would discover 30 seconds, 20 seconds, I don't know. But any individual, any person can, with some training within very short time, extend that to at least 90 seconds. It's possible for anyone.
Yeah.
I think a little bit the same with our giftings, that we are the ones limiting and making our boundaries very safe and small. There is much more to us than we know.
Yeah.
Even for me, if I can be honest, Pastor Errol, is that I never imagined in the first place standing on a stage and speaking and talking to leaders,
mm-hmm.
doing it in English in a foreign nation. If somebody told that, I would be terrified and I would say, that's not me.
Yeah.
You know, other people can do that, but I feel safe in a safe environment. But I have to say, now I discovered I also feel safe in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it turned out there was more than I could see.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And do you agree that if people would say, that you ask them to do a step up in leadership, and they would say, oh yeah, sure, I can do that.
Yeah,
I can do this, I can do this also.
Yeah,
we kind of get scary here because we think, well, is there any prayer behind this? Is there any dependency?
Yeah.
I think you and I would agree that, you know, yes, in our own strength we cannot do it.
Mm.
Building church in this world, in Europe, nobody can do that.
Sure. You know,
they're all in your little cabins, and you try to reach some people. They're not there, for example. So I think the Lord is calling us for bigger things and for next steps, and He wants us to be dependent on Him. That's what the Lord tried to tell to Moses as well. Yeah. I am with you. Yeah. I gave you that mouth. I am with you. I'll go before you.
Yeah.
So probably that's part of the...
But I think sometimes we want God to first manifest all the skills and all the gifts.
Yeah.
And then we can say, so it's all this. Now I can go.
Yeah.
But God told Moses, you start walking and then I will be with you.
Yeah.
You know? It's not, I think, you know, without making this too technical, it's not like God says, first I will part the sea, and then you see that the sea is parted so you can go.
Yeah.
I think how we need to move is that first we go, and as we go, we discover, and the sea parts, you know?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we wait and we think... That if God manifests, if God gives me a sign, if God proves that everything is how it's supposed to be, then I have the confidence to move.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's time to take the step.
Yeah.
And what's the risk? I mean, sometimes it's not the end of your life or your leadership to even take a step back and say, okay, maybe this was not in my line of leadership. Yeah. Maybe I should move more in this direction. Yeah.
You only find out if you do take some steps.
Exactly.
Another topic because you work together with your city, city council, even with the sport club.
Yeah.
Before this interview, you told me a little bit some very interesting, exciting events. Working together with the city council. Tell us a little bit. Another topic, but interesting to hear.
Yeah, sure. Well, the thing is, I love sports in the first place.
Yeah? What sports? Skating?
Yeah, we
there is winter something sports. With the Dutch and you.
I know historically there is a rivalry there, but, you know.
Yeah.
these days, I guess...
There's peace now. Eh?
There's peace now because peace we are now. Not such a threat anymore, because we are not that good.
Is that the reason? Oh, okay.
But of course, I follow football a lot and winter sports. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that I support my team in Oslo. Mm-hmm. But then our church has a cooperation with the local club, who's also a top division in Norwegian top division team.
So they're doing good?
And doing very well. Yeah. But they are rivals, the team I support and the team my church cooperates with.
Oh.
But everybody knows it. It's not a secret. Okay. So, but it's great. So actually this week, as we are here recording this, just in a few days, we will have a business breakfast in our church in cooperation with the football club. Because we are one of the partners. So together with all the other business partners, they will be in our building.
And you as a church are a partner of the football club.
We are a partner. So even in the games, you can see our labels on the...
Really?
You see the label of the bank, and you see this company and this company, and you'll see the name of the church.
Yeah. Oslo Christian.
Well, OKS. It will say OKS Church.
OKS Church. That's how you.
That's like the trademark.
Oh really? So you pay some money to get that, and that's allowed. It's a Christian thing, religious.
It is, but of course it's not like the ad does not confront people. It's it's just the brand.
Name, the name.
OKS, and it does say church actually.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
That's okay, yeah. But
so you pay some money for that, and then on the television they see it.
You can see it on the television, yeah, and also on other places in the club.
That's really you're the first pastor that I talked to that does sponsor.
But I'll tell you that it's
local. Well, local. It's a bit bigger than local,
But it's relationship based. Mm. So I think in the beginning, when this started, there was a lot of skeptical people.
In your church, are we going to pay this?
In the church and in the club.
So my contribution to the church now goes to... Well,
the amount is really not that big, but I would say that there was skepticism in the church, but also in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
They would say, a church coming into the club, now keep religion away from sports.
Yeah.
And then over the years, we just built trust. And we showed that we are not there to... We are not there to convert. Of course, as a church, we always will preach the good news anywhere.
Yeah.
But we are there to make the city a better place and to build the bridges and to contribute with what we have. And of course, we're also there to we do rent out of our buildings. So we are there to promote, the business side of that. But having said that, over the years, we've done many stunts. And just a few weeks ago, they played the Norwegian Cup final. And in their celebration in the town square, I performed a wedding for a couple who were getting married. And they were both football supporters, him and her. So they had their football outfit got married. So we did it in the middle of the town. And it's not like people are, wondering why is the pastor there? Because I think there is trust over the years. Yeah. But it takes time.
Yeah. Takes time, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you go to football matches often?
I do, because my boys...
Do you have your own section where you sit? How does that work? Or any chair you can find? Or how does that?
The problem is that the team I support, they play, they are not the team we are partners with.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when we are attending...
It's not like there's the advertisement and above it is your face.
No, it's not like that. Okay. But we do have our own section. So to every game, we have a couple of tickets in the lounge with the other companies. So the good thing is that over time, we build relationships.
Yeah.
And And I'm very relaxed when I go there. I'm not there to be the pastor or the priest. But what happens on some events, and some of the company events is like in the nighttime, or there's like sometimes there's an event with for a conference, or we go somewhere, and there's a dinner, and people have a couple of drinks, and sometimes suddenly over dinner, they start asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to prove anything, but they are curious. And suddenly, late at night, I'm sort of functioning as a pastor because they ask spiritual questions and they ask personal questions, and I don't mind. I don't plan for that, but I don't mind.
You're open to it.
So I think it's been a great blessing to just, you know, I think it's many years ago who said, "Don't just be a pastor for your church, but be a pastor for your city." To that's a certain degree, that's a challenge that we are still trying to unpack.
So in a few days from now, you have your building full with the high officials, companies, all supporters for the
they are all local business partners.
Business partners. Are you going to say something? Are you allowed to? Are you supposed to?
Well, last time our church were given 10 minutes. To talk about what we do. And so we did that in a funny way. So I very shortly, I started my introduction because every company says when they have their introduction, they say we run these products and we are this number of staff and we have been running for this long and we was established in this year, da, da, da. And when it's my turn, I go up on stage and I say, we were established like approximately 2,000 years ago. We have had the same product all the time. Our product development department is very, you know, they have nothing to do because we have communicated hope for 2,000 years, and they were laughing. It's the point is that we are just being ourselves, you know. And I think it's a great thing to build relationships. With people outside the city, and not just for me to give something to them, but honestly, they are giving me a lot, you know. Some of these people are very sharp, they are brilliant, they are educated, they are clever with what they do. So I'm also there to learn and to listen.
Okay, thank you. Our time is already gone. Interesting to hear. Thank you for coming. You've been with us a few days, giving trainings and speeches and work in church. So all the best for you and your wife and the kids, you know, and your church and all the churches that you oversee. I hope you have a great time in Thursday with all those high officials coming to your church. It's great. It's amazing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pastor Errol.
All right. We are already finishing the 36 now. This was number 36. So we do this every month. Let your friends know if you like this. Give us a shout out or a thumb up or something. Every fourth Tuesday of the month, we are there with another new episode from Leadership Talks. Thank you for watching or listening. See you soon.